In the last 16 years, I've gone on a bit of a journey of healing and been really interested in that space and working more and more into the family violence space as well, learning about that and learning models and good, I suppose, good healing methods around what's going to work for our people and taking that cultural context into it as well and looking, yeah, it's been an interesting journey. And I really love the work. I really love working with men and I really love some of the preventative stuff. You know, I've worked in mainstream, I've worked in different A&D agencies and seen a lot of the clinical stuff. I've seen some of that stuff and I just wanted to develop something different and I wanted to get back to that spirituality and draw on that culture and draw on a good balanced model that's going to heal our people.
So you've just had a behaviour change and healing program out at Lakes Entrance with Men on Country. I want to talk to you about the program and what you can obviously talk to me about because I know it is men's business, but it's such an important issue and program, men's behaviour change and healing, because there is a lot out there about the safety of women and children, but we've also got to look at the safety of men and the issues around violence and why men are violent. It usually comes from cycles of violence in families, and that's the way people know how to deal with things. So can you talk a bit about the program and the focus for the program and what you're finding is actually working?
Yeah, because it even goes deeper than the cycles of violence. I mean, there's a big history that goes behind that as well, and I think men have lost their roles and lost their way a bit and just that sense of hopelessness, you know, not having that traditional settings and learnings, you know, just drawing on some of that. And what does that mean in terms of our men's space? You know, we always have elders and people with wisdom, cultural people. So everyone has a role in the program, and that's what we try and make it as inclusive as we can. But at the same time, we're trying to do some of the healing stuff because there's a trauma, the layers of that, and then there's the behaviour stuff. And so it's a big journey and it's very complex. But it's not just using a mainstream model and saying this works. You know, it's we're developing our own models and our own ways and our own methods of how we want to be healed and how we want it done. And so, you know, that healing, that's why we put it, you know, I see them as two different things. I see behaviour as a thing, but I see the healing, you know, the trauma is the thing, is the deep stuff, and the deep stuff needs to be healed before I believe the behaviour can change. And you can't change behaviour without doing the other, I believe, and that's just been my experience, and I stay true to that. But so I'm learning as well, but, you know, I'm learning what works and what doesn't as well, so... So, you know, we do a three-day camp and that is part of connecting back to country and having elders involved and practicing some of our practices, cultural practices, and getting back grounded to country and having some, like I said, having some of them ceremonials. And then we build on that, you know, but that's our foundation for our group. That really builds a lot of trust amongst men and it creates a lot of safety amongst men. And then we just consolidate on that and then we bring the other parts of it in. So we actually run our program. There's a start and finish in terms of, you know, men coming in and completing the program. So we do a three-day workshop where we do, like I just explained, we take the men away and then we do some integration stuff. So when men come back, then we do the skill set stuff, you know, and how we integrate that learning and take care of our families and take care of our kids and take care of ourselves. And that's a journey on its own. So, you know.
Yeah, because there's a whole thing when you go on healing retreats or camps or you're in a healing space, that space is designed for that. But then coming back and integrating back into your community and home and then having to deal with what's happening around you is a whole different story. You know, I know it myself when I've gone for healing workshops and that, and then if I've had to go straight into work the next day or straight into something the next day, I haven't had a chance to kind of take stock of what's going on after that processing everything that you've gone into. So you sort of don't get the full benefit of things. You have to keep working on applying it in your day-to-day routine.
It's overwhelming, Kirsty, because you go away and you do them workshops and you do that healing and then you come back. And it's a different environment. It's a different setting. And it's like a setting. You set it up where you don't want to leave. You just want to stay there.
Yeah.
Then you've got to leave them places and detach yourself, come back to this environment. and it can be overwhelming. And if you don't ground it, then, you know, particularly when you're trying to address not only violence, you're trying to address addictions. So you've got all these complexities. You've got family stuff and housing stuff and employment stuff and financial burdens. And so you've got a whole layer of these things that you're trying to, you know, where's, you know, you're trying to address and trying to manage. And the healing stuff's just another space, you know. It's a different space altogether. It's more of a connecting space. It's a spiritual space. Yeah, and it is always hard to ground that when you come back and integrate that in your everyday life. You know, it can be definitely overwhelming, and I can definitely second that because I've been through that process myself.
You're listening to SBS Radio Living Black. I'm Kirsten Lindsay, and I'm speaking with Alan Thorpe, director and facilitator of Dadi Manwaro Strong Spirit Behaviour Change and Healing Program.
People don't understand the difficult and the complex and the sensitivity around what men carry and the stories and you know, and that historical stuff. It's about bringing it to consciousness. It's about, like, it's there, but they'll act it out in other ways, you know. But it's about bringing that alive and healing that part so they can actually, it's that unresolved stuff, you know, the unresolved stuff you sit with and you just know that's there and it actually makes you angry and frustrated. I think that's the thing that we do. We deal with, unpack a lot of that unresolved stuff about, and some of that's loss and grief, and you know, there'd be a lot of issues there, and it is about unpacking that stuff, and then we take it to another level, you know. But it's, what are the things that are unresolved or need some healing to actually free you up to be the man you want, you know? That's the critical part, and that's why we do the workshops. We don't just turn up for 2 hours a week or 2 hours a fortnight and do a group. It's more to that, you know. There's more work and more healing to that when we're talking about behaviour change. And when we look at the traditional roles and look at how we draw on that, because, you know, we're not violent. We're not destructive. We're not the things that, you know, that people say we are or the things we act out. It's just that it's finding the gift and the gold that's going to bring, you know, you're going to strengthen the family and play an important and significant role in the family. And that takes work, you know. And that's, for a man, you know, it's that sort of who's a man you want to be type thing. And, you know, being really clear and it's that sort of self-inventory stuff, you know, that you really want to you want to be really clear, and I think when you're really clear about who you are, I think then that the family feel that, you know, and you ground that, and then the community feel that as well. So, like, that's a whole workshop on its own, just really defining who you really are as an Aboriginal man, you know, and unpacking that. And you don't have to have a book about it, but just making some sort of affirmation or something strong about, you know, being proud, because all the experiences haven't been good experiences, whether it's through school and racism and the traumas and all that. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of the hide, repress and deny stuff that we need to move beyond. And I think that's the challenge for all of us.
You're listening to SBS Radio Living Black. I'm Kirsten Lindsay, and I'm speaking with Alan Thorpe, director and facilitator of Dadi Manwaro Strong Spirit Behaviour Change and Healing Program.
It's a big question, you know, when you ask men, who are you, you know, and the responsibilities that come with that when you start thinking about it as an Aboriginal man, you know, knowing culture, your language has been taken away, or all the things that have happened, a sense of hopelessness, you know. And so it's about rebuilding that. It's about, you know, getting men up, building self-esteem back, building self-belief back, self-worth. Because if you can do that, I believe then the kids feel that and your relationship, because that energy just it filters out, and you just become so productive, you know. And particularly little kids, they sense that, you know. Sense that energy and how you feel about yourself. And it's that breaking the cycles, you know. It's about making kids feel good. If you feel good, you make your daughter or your son feel good, you know, or your nephew or niece. And,
yeah,
you know, so, and feeling strong and feeling high self-esteem, you know, feeling good about, you know, just not being about strong warrior type. That's a good energy, but there's other parts to that. You know, how do you build a kid's self-esteem up to make them feel good, you know, and give them that sort of blessing, you know. And so, yeah, there's more to being a man than just being a provider and a protector.
Can you talk about what the issues are you're finding with the lack of funds?
I don't think there's much acknowledgement about the work we're doing, Kirstie, in terms of our work, because it's easy just to look at another program and say, yeah, that's working, but how is that working? You know, when you're working with Aboriginal people, you've got to think about the model and what you're bringing, and just don't impose another model on the community, you know. Just be sensitive and be flexible. And so in terms of us being really recognised or having a voice. We're not a massive voice in the family violence space. Mm. I feel like we don't get heard.
Needs to be,
and,
doesn't
and
it?
And we need to. They need to actually know what we're doing and what they're really funding is for, and how many men we're working with. Because it's just when it's a mainstream service crying out for service or for funding, it's, you know, they've just put out a bucket of money. We're doing crowdfunding and we're looking at other ways of keeping out, sustaining our program. So it has an emotional impact on you. Like you're trying to, you know, your programs, dude, you've developed it over 16 years. You know, we've had great evaluation, great evidence that it's working, but we're just not getting that voice around the table. I don't feel like we're really getting heard. So yeah, it's a really frustrating period at the moment.